Very warm, gracious welcome to all of you. We have come today at the request of the students of the Portland area to meet in a very sacred fellowship. It is our purpose to move quietly, securely, and with boldness in the path of absolute truth. And for those of you who have felt the need for absolute truth, I hope that when you are brought face to face with it, you will still feel that your path is the path of absolute truth. I have heard from many of you questions such as, when shall I walk in my invisible self? When shall I move in and out of the body at will? When will I commune with ascended masters? When will I live my eternal life? When will I stop reincarnating? When will I experience the peace that passeth understanding? The questions go on, and there is one answer. And you can answer it right now for yourself. If you will ask yourself this question, where do you begin and where does God end? Is there a place where God ends and you begin? And if you can find that place where God ends and you begin, you will not be in absolute truth. Think about it a moment. Is there a God and you? Or is there a God without a beginning and without an ending? And now try to find yourself in that picture. Now, if you want to be absolute, and you find no place where God ends and you begin, then you must go deeper than the surface of that understanding. You must then act from that awareness. And so we're going to start right there. If there is anyone here who thinks there is a place where God ends and he or she begins, make the correction. See if you can accept that there is no place where God ends and you begin. And when you feel you can accept it, make the correction in consciousness firmly, knowing you can never go back to a place where there is a separation between God and yourself. And now go even deeper, because there is no place where God ends and I begin. I and the Father are one. But God is spirit. And if you have pledged yourself to absolute truth, you must now accept that because God does not end and you begin, but God is continuous and God is spirit, The only reality to which you can answer is, I am spirit. That isn't absolute enough. Because if you are spirit, you are not matter. And so we start at a very perilous position for a person who is determined to stand in a human consciousness. I am not material being. I am spirit. And between the Father and myself, there is no separation. Whoever cannot accept that today may accept it tomorrow. Whoever can never accept it will always be separate from God. The world we live in is separate from God. The nation we inhabit is separate from God. The nations of the world are separate from God, and the governments of the world are separate. Science is separate from God, and religion is separate from God. The separation is subtle. As long as an individual is a material being, no matter who he is or what position he occupies, he is separate from God. And so when you ask, when shall I experience my eternal self? When shall I move in and out of the body at will? When shall I be independent of time and space and matter? When shall I know that death is impossible? Only when you know that you and the Father can never be separated. Because the Spirit of God is the name of your being. Now, many have come here with problems that they have brought from years back. Problems that have survived in spite of all effort to remove them, to diminish them, to transcend them. And the reason is very simple and very complex. Whether your problem is a physical one, a mental one, an emotional one, a financial one, the words make no difference whatsoever. There is only the one problem. It is a generic problem out of which emanates every other problem in the world, so that the same cause is responsible for a flood as for unemployment. The same cause is responsible for a fire as for alcoholism. The same cause for a tumor or drugs. It makes no difference what the problem. Every problem on our earth, regardless of its name or its nature, stems from separation from God. And until you realize that this separation is purely imaginary, the problem you carry and suffer from will continue, even though it too is just as imaginary. There is no real problem. Every problem is imaginary and stems from a separation from God. This is not a new idea at all. It was never new. But it is the one cause of the wars and the pestilences, the starvation, the famine, the earthquakes, the hurricanes, the flash floods. All are based on individual and group separation from the one living substance that we call God. and you yourself have found whenever you are able to be one with this substance in your consciousness, neither the fire nor the flood, nor the germ, nor the hate, nor the envy of the world could touch you. Because in my oneness with the Spirit of God is all fulfillment. Three 3,000 years ago, we were given the keys to living outside the body, independent of time and independent of space. We were shown how to live in the kingdom of God on earth. We were shown how to walk in paradise. And for a most peculiar reason, even today, those simple truths given to us are totally unknown to us. We walk by them, we speak them, we do not recognize them. And it is because we ourselves continue in the dream of separation. And in that dream, we cannot recognize the keys that shatter the dream, that reveal the presence of an invisible kingdom right here. If you were born into an esoteric family, you would have learned at an early age, the moment you heard about the Ten Commandments, you'd have said, Ten, why, that's special. He's talking to me about my soul. And you would have said, these Ten Commandments are to lift me into the realm of soul. And then you would have taken another look at those commandments. You'd have seen that they are not just Ten Commandments. They are ten spiritual commandments, ten keys to living in the soul. And then you would have understood why the Master added two more, so that we could go from the soul realm into the spirit realm, and then into the realm of rebirth into Christhood. And these 12 soul commandments are still here, simply waiting for eyes that will look at them not as attempts to improve our moral behavior or attempts to make us better human beings, but eyes that will look at those Ten Commandments and say, these are the keys to heaven on earth. These are the ten soul commandments. These are the words of God given to those who have the inner eye. And you would see that the very first of these commandments says to you something that the world has been unaware of and afraid to face, even if they had heard the truth more plainly. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you must say to yourself, what has the world done with this? What have you done with it? Has it taken you into the soul realm? Have you looked at it closely to see if it's a spiritual commandment? Who is me? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Before spirit. And why? Because there is nothing but spirit. And so we have made other gods. We have made human gods. We have made personal gods. We have made things gods. I don't mean things that we idolize as God, but things that we must have. material things. We have made a God out of matter. And the matter that we have made a God out of is called me. We worship ourselves. That is what we're trying to do every day. We're trying to be a better me, a more successful me, more attractive me. And we're trying to get rid of the pains and increase the pleasures. We have made other gods out of me. The human race, which is based on a material concept of life, is separated from God. And the purpose of the first commandment is to remove that false sense of separation. Spirit can never create anything other than itself. Spirit is perfect. Spirit can never create anything other than perfection. There is no perfect material body in this world. You know it. There is no material body that does not age and deteriorate, because it is not a spiritual body. And there is no material body in this world that is one with spirit. Instead, between spirit and matter, there is total separation. And so as long as you walk in a material body, you are among the 4 billion who continue separated from God. Do you see that absolute truth then is a commandment which says, thou shalt not live in a material body? Now that's only for those who understand it. That's only for those who have worked so hard to walk in truth that nothing else will do. And that is what I think has assembled here tonight. We have come from Texas, from California, from the state of Oregon, from Hawaii, from Canada, from Norway. We have come with one purpose: to find out who we are and to live as that perfect being which the Father says is the Son of God. That Son has never been a material being. That Son never will become a spiritual being from a material being. And so I will presume now that everyone who is interested only in walking the path of truth to becoming the light itself in consciousness, as you already are in truth, I will assume that that is what is assembled here, and that we are going to have a seminar of the soul in which we follow truth wherever it takes us. The human race is separated from God. And therefore, we who walk in the human race as material persons are saying that I and the Father are two. And then we have to go to God to get things. Because being separated, or in a sense of separation, there's no flow of grace. There's no flow of wisdom. There's no flow of peace. There's no flow of eternal life. We have separated ourselves. We have accepted a different substance than God. On the other hand, if we are willing to say, that I refuse to be separated from God. I refuse to continue in any human concept, in any material concept. Then we are beginning to make the great sacrifice, the self-denial, the surrender, which opens us to the kingdom of God. There is hardly an exoteric religion on the face of the earth that knows it is pushing away the God it thinks it is worshiping. When you are separate from God, you are separate from perfection. You are separate from life itself. You are separate from grace. You are separate from every quality of God. And so when we look around us at the aging universe, the deteriorating man that we see one day, who the next day is 5 years older, the next day is holding his back and saying, why does it hurt so badly? When we look at the world as it grows older and moves out of this present cycle into another cycle of reincarnation, we must say to ourselves, I am not moving in that direction. I have seen something greater than a dying form. I have seen a place where there is an unbroken continuity of consciousness, where a person can step out of form, continuing in consciousness, in eternal life. And that is my destination. Again, I ask you, what exists beside God? Do you know of anything that exists beside God? Is there anything you know of that exists beside the Spirit of God? Now, can you be very absolute with me? If only the Spirit of God exists, what is sitting in your chair? Do you see that the first commandment is telling us to look at ourselves all over again? It's been telling us that for 3,000 years. It's saying, take a look at yourself. Who do you think you are? Thou shalt have no other gods besides spirit. What does God mean? No other power. No other life. No other identity. For you, the only power that exists must be spiritual power. The only identity that exists must be spiritual identity. The only life that exists must be spiritual life. Where then are material powers, material lives, material identities? They have no existence. They are the concept man entertains because he is in a dream of separation from God, from Spirit. And we are awakening from that dream. Be ye perfect as your Father. And so we have much work to do. We are told by the Master that a house divided must end in desolation. A consciousness divided. A consciousness which thinks I am material and God is spirit. or a consciousness which thinks, I will become spirit. Such a consciousness is divided. It is a divided house, and it must bring about its own desolation. It always has. Paul, in reprimanding his own disciple, says, is Christ divided? James, the brother of Jesus, says, a divided man is unstable in all his ways. And so we are pinpointing, even though it raises many problems for you, we are pinpointing the one and only problem. At least you have an opportunity to decide to move in the way of the first commandment or not. And it is saying very clearly that there is only spirit. There never was spirit and matter. Your spirit is your life. And if you will face it, that which is not spirit is already dead. Spirit is life. I am the life. I am the way. I am the resurrection. Spirit is the way. Spirit is the resurrection. Spirit is life. And if you are not spirit, you are not life. And so another you, awaits you as a great discovery of your true being. Oh, I know some of you have already found that you. And those of us who have, to some degree, found it even waver. We are really all walking arm in arm, trying to live as this other I. Not as the material man or woman. And then the word commandment has another meaning. It's a commandment because it's the love of God that you follow in the direction of truth. It's a commandment, not a suggestion, so that you will know it is the way to truth. This other you must now be looked at. And you must ask yourself, where does my spiritual self begin? Truly, you can find no place where your spiritual self begins. And yet, it is you. It doesn't begin where the form begins. It doesn't begin in space at all. And if you go back as far in time as you wish, you can find no place where your spiritual self begins. You can go back before Abraham. And your spiritual self still has no beginning. Where does God begin? Nowhere. That's where you begin. Nowhere. You have always been. Go into the future. Where will you end? Nowhere in time. There is no way for you to end. Spirit has no beginning. Spirit has no end. Spirit has no interruption. Spirit has no cessation of continuity. You can't go back to a moment of birth, and you can't go ahead to a moment of death and say you began here and you're ending there. That is not you. That's the you the world had made you think you were. Because the world looked at your form and said, hello. The world placed you in a form. The world placed you in a time and a space and a position. And in time you accepted it. And you became aware of yourself in that space. But you were never aware of yourself, which had no beginning and no end, until you learned that you were the light of God, the Spirit of God. Then you became aware of it, perhaps vaguely. Perhaps you experimented. Perhaps the idea grew in your consciousness. Perhaps one day you were willing to accept yourself that way. But then you had to purify. You had to cast out every idea that you were something else than that one without beginning, without end. And hopefully you're now in that state of attempting to purify, willing to accept the first commandment, that besides spirit, nothing else exists. If you are, you'll discover that ultimately you must be lifted into the soul realm, and the soul will shatter the dream of matter for you. Nothing else can shatter the dream of matter, even while you're attempting to do it with your intellect, with your brain, with your human intelligence, and even while you're trying to open to the spirit within. Only when the soul bud is opened will the dream of matter be shattered. And you must work with the faith that the Ten Commandments are going to lead you to that soul awakening which shatters the physical dream. Unfortunately, man has not started in that direction. He has not been trying to shatter the physical dream. He's been trying to improve the physical dream. He's been trying to eliminate the problems of the physical dream, but not the dream itself. Can you, for the balance of this seminar, hold two thoughts? Because there is no place where God begins. There is no place where I begin. Because there is no place where God ends, there is no place where I end. That's one thought. And there is no place where God ends and I begin. Always, whether my form appears in hell or in heaven, in the world or out of the world, healthy or unhealthy, always there is no place where God ends and I begin, because there is only the one continuous Spirit of God, and it is I. Now, if you will hold these two thoughts through the seminar, you will discover that you will bring into play the power, the intelligence, the perfection, the peace, the harmony, the full flowing glory of the Father into your conscious experience. But you must keep your mind stayed on these truths. You cannot deviate. You cannot take an hour off for dinner and think at the moment that I'll get back to it later. The moment you are not consciously aware that I and the Father are one continuous spirit without beginning or end, you lose the power. You lose the protection. You lose the wisdom. You lose the peace and the grace. But I can assure you that if you will make the effort, even when you falter, you will be developing a habit which ultimately will triumph over any seeming obstacle. Now you're going to find that again and again in a new disguise in the Bible and in Joel's works and in many other works. Always said a different way and never quite recognized because we had not made the inner commitment that I am never separate from Spirit because it is who I am. And so, for those of you who brought a problem with you, I just quickly would like you to see that your problem is imaginary. Your problem depends upon the belief that you are not Spirit. And as long as you believe that, your problem will apparently remain there for quite a while. And while you take the attitude that you are our spirit, you will say, well, why doesn't the problem go away? And that's not enough for you. If you still want to know why the problem doesn't go away when you think you're spirit, it's because you don't think you're spirit. If you did, you would say, the problem does not exist. It only seems to. There is no problem in spirit. Now, if you have not faced a crisis in your life with that knowledge, you have no way of knowing that when you are standing in spirit and rejecting the possibility of a problem in spite of the appearance of one, and in spite of the pain of one, in spite of the imminent catastrophe of one, you have no way of knowing what miracle can occur. But some of us do know. As a matter of fact, you will discover that your life on this earth in physical form is a challenge. Every single day of this physical experience is a challenge. And the only time you're going to get out of it alive is when you can reach that point in consciousness which never denies that only God exists. If you can be persuaded that beside God there is something else, you are separated from God. Another word you can use is duality. Separation or duality. They're different, but you can think of them as the same for a moment. Out of the separation, duality develops. And then we begin to think in terms of a dual universe, good powers and bad powers. We begin to think of this me as someone who must be protected. And there is no me to protect. We think of this me as someone who must be serviced in some way by either a doctor or a chiropractor or an osteopath or someone to be sure that all of the problems are taken out of that form. And where are the problems? They're not in the form at all. If they're in the form and only spirit exists, how are you ever going to get them out of that form when it isn't there? You're going to keep trying to get those problems out of a form that isn't there because you don't know that only spirit is there. You've got to start thinking that the form isn't there. You've got to start acting from that point of view. You can't do this by reading a book. You can't do it with a little simple exercise. You've got to live that way. And if you're not prepared to live that way, face it. You're not studying the infinite way. You're not studying absolute truth. Now, there was a day when it wasn't absolute for most people because they weren't ready. Joel had to tell them, this isn't absolute. That is, it wasn't for them, but it was for him. And he had to milk them along. He had to feed them this pablum because they weren't ready. But he was. He could have given them much more, as much as they could handle. And I think we have come to the point where we can handle anything. No limitation. We can actually move and live in the knowledge that we do not have physical forms. And those who cannot, this isn't the message for them, that's all. And those who can, it is. I want to make that clear then, that we are dedicated to walking in the knowledge, living in the knowledge, and acting out of the knowledge that we do not live in physical forms. Immediately you will say, well, should I not eat tomorrow or tonight? What else do I have to cut out of my life? And it's not quite that way. The way it works is, there is no you to cut out food. There is no you to cut out anything. There is only spirit. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The power of spirit is in the will of spirit. The will of spirit in you does everything. You do nothing. You learn to step aside, totally turn your attention to the living will of spirit in you. And it never moves in the material world. It only moves in spirit. As you are attentive to its will, letting it do all it wishes to do without you interfering, without you breaking away into personal will, you will find that what it does will be always its own invisible perfection, which will appear outwardly as you doing this or doing that or not doing this or not doing that. But you will never be doing or not doing. There is no such you. Now, this is subtle, but you do not make human decisions. Spirit makes all the decisions, and that appears outwardly as you. And that's absolute. Now then, let us go back to this form that's sitting in a chair. If it has a will of its own, it's in duality. If it relies on its own intelligence, it's in duality. If it's there, it's in duality. And that is a very difficult thing for you to learn to live with. If it's there, if the form is there, you are separated from spirit. Fortunately, you've learned enough about form by now to know that all form, all matter, is mental. And so you don't have to look at it, stare at it, and say, well, how can it not be there if I see it? This you should be past by now. You should be not in the word structure of the message, but in the experience structure. You should be moving in experience, not in words. Now, because I and the Father would seem to be two, we must see that I am the Spirit of the Father. That is why we are one, because that Spirit of the Father I am. All that the Spirit of the Father is, I am. And I can't be living in this physical form and be living in infinite spirit at the same time. I can't be eternal life and also a form that dies. I can't envy or desire or need or want anything and still be spirit. Because spirit already has. Spirit already possesses all that is necessary within itself. And so this new you, this you that you have avoided so long, this you that you're afraid to be, which is the only you there is, this is the you that the first commandment is reaching toward. Be the Spirit of God. Live as the Spirit of God. Act as the Spirit of God. By letting the Spirit do its own thing in you. And don't feel that the mountain is insurmountable. After all, it's only the first commandment. Surely the Spirit which is teaching us to be itself is going to open other keys. It's going to show us how. It's not going to tell us to swim in an ocean without teaching us how. But you must begin at that level of absolute truth if you are going to walk in your spiritual self on this earth knowingly, consciously, under grace. As the light of the Father. Now that separates you from those who are separated. That takes you out of the material dream. It takes you out of the plagues and the pestilences of this world, even when you see them. And it brings you back into the kingdom of God. You walk here in the kingdom of God only as spiritual being. That should be very clear. You know that war does not exist in the kingdom of God, or disease, or lack, or limitation. But you cannot walk in the kingdom of God where these things do not exist unless you are the substance of that kingdom. A whole transformation of consciousness is called for. We have been a world in material consciousness, saying we love God, we honor God, we worship God, and all the time we haven't done it at all. Because God is saying, walk in my kingdom as spiritual beings. Have no other gods before me. Live in the kingdom of God on earth. Don't live in the world of matter and pretend we're worshiping God. Now, it's not our fault that all religions are walking in the false worship of God, but we don't have to follow anymore. And we don't have to pretend to ourselves that we are spiritual students. If we're not, now everyone must banish their problems. Then there are no problems in spirit. Everyone must banish their ambitions. There are no ambitions in spirit. The desire to excel in human endeavors must be banished. Everything that we consider a human life must be seen from another point of view. It's a clean sweep. You go into the outer courtyard and the inner courtyard, and you cleanse the temple of all material thought. We go right through the family. Everyone is spirit. And because there's only one spirit, we are all that one spirit. The spirit of your family and the spirit of my family are the same one spirit, undivided, unseparated, continuous. Everywhere we look throughout this universe, or up to Mars, or out across the oceans and the continents, out through areas undiscovered by man, my spirit is. Your spirit is that spirit. Thou shalt have no other gods, no other substances, no other things, no other powers, but me, spirit. To live in a spiritual universe as spiritual being, undivided, without duality, opens you to the kingdom of God on earth, where everything we have all looked for is waiting, present, at hand, needing only a spiritual being to express them. Everything turns. The hate turns to love. The lack turns to lack of lack. The limitations become unlimited. The war becomes peace. And it doesn't depend upon what the world is doing. One with God is a majority. One with Spirit is a majority. You are not dependent upon any individual in this world as you walk in your spiritual identity. But you will be challenged. It isn't a primrose path. You will be challenged every step of the way. You must expect it, because that's the only way you will learn how to accept spiritual being. And that which challenges you is never there. You must learn to see through the false challenge. You must be challenged. It must go deeper than the mouth. It must go deeper than the brain. The knowledge that I am spirit must enter your heart. You must look for the challenge. Want the challenge, because you need the challenge. You must face everything that says to you, you are a material being. And you must be unafraid, because you are a spiritual being. And matter is not there. The challenge is always the world mind. The world mind says, you have arthritis. The world mind says, you are getting more wrinkles in your face. The world mind says something is wrong here and something is wrong there. Well, there's no bread on the table. The job isn't secure. The marriage is on the rocks. Nonsense. That's the world mind. That's the mind of the world, which is unaware of the presence of spirit without opposite. And it's therefore a fictitious mind. You have seen cases where people who have severe problems become aware of the world mind as forcing these problems on them. They're not even connected to the problem. Just an idea hovering around them, which they pick up and believe. And the moment they learn they don't have the problem, they cease to have it. How can I be unemployed if I am spirit? Isn't that ridiculous? Isn't spirit always about the spiritual business? And what can I lack if I am spirit, when spirit is the meat and the bread and the wine? And so what you're lacking, you're not lacking. You're lacking the knowledge that you are spirit. You're poor in the knowledge that you are spirit. You're the poor in spirit. Every problem is simply an imagined idea projected by the world mind, accepted by the individual mind, and then translated into some form of physical or mental or emotional lack, and never real. Right where that problem is the pure spirit of your being, completely free in your true identity. And nothing but the true identity will reveal that.